Welcome back to Fun Town, everybody. It's Wednesday for you. It's Tuesday for us. What a week it's been. What a week. This one episode a week thing takes getting used to, but we have more to talk about then. You guys, maybe builds up a little bit of you missing us. Let's hope. Or who knows? Who knows what's happening?
Nobody has anything to talk about. Nobody's doing shit.
The world is moving so fucking slow. Like, I sit down today for an hour, like, oh, what's going on in the world we can talk about? I have no idea what's going on in the world, except that I heard that Rob Gronkowski's out of retirement. He's going to play with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, but I really don't give a fuck.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So. And they just also, because, you know, me being the sports guy, they also just traded some Julian Edelman or something. They just traded them to Tampa Bay from the Patriots.
So Brady's just getting his favorite guys. Yeah. They're going to win the Super Bowl. So, hey, congratulations, Tampa Bay. They're going to win the Super Bowl in 2023 when the NFL's back. It's going to be awesome. All right, so how was your guys' week? Did anything awesome happen to either of you this week?
No. I'm just going to...
Me
do
either.
A quick sweep of the week's events, and I'm firm on no. Back to you, Todd.
Here's what I just continued to not live a life for this past week. I was like, all right, I'm getting used to not being a person of the world. Like, I'm getting used to not being connected, I feel like, which is good, because I did do this the other day, that the governor of Indiana was on there with somebody else giving one of those COVID talks, right?
Right.
So I was watching it live on Facebook, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. What if I just started to heckle from the crowd? Because I'm a crowd member. What if I start to heckle? Will anyone even notice in the thread? Are like people watching it, or are they just like me, like they had nothing that better to do, and they want to go on here and hear people talk in circles without ever answering any questions? Yeah. So I just started to put things on there like, is it true that the Michael Myers mask from Halloween is COVID approved? And fucking nobody.
No one.
Nobody responded. I'm like, well, fuck. So, you know, I just started to step it up with a few more, and then I started noticing likes, and I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm getting some attention. People are just reading this. They're like me. They're not even really hearing what they have to say. But then there was that army of people that are super serious in their
chair
that were kind of pissed off about it. And they're like, I can't, because there's other people also just kind of carrying conversations in there like it happens. And they were like, I can't believe people aren't taking it serious. People are dying, da 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 da. And I was like, boy, this is interesting. Like, the governor of Indiana is on there right now talking during a moment of what perceived crisis. And only like 20% of the people are on here for the right reason. Like,
it's fucking... the other ones are all.
And you're one of the ones not on there for the right reason.
I know. Like, I know. That's... And I was like, I'm going to lead that army. That's the 80%. But it would be different, like, if they were answering questions. Like, it was literally... I'd never heard people talk in circles so much in my life. Like,
it's because they don't know what to say.
No.
No, I mean, no one knows what the fuck to say. And I get, they want to come out right from the beginning and be like, hey, guess what? Like, 200,000 people are going to die. No, they're not going to say that. They're
no. Just, and they were like, hey, we admit it. Our data is not accurate. Like,
yeah.
We're basically forging death certificates at this point. So if we don't know how you died, we're saying you died of coronavirus. And then people were losing their minds. They're like, what? And I'm like, is this the first time you guys are hearing this? So it was interesting, man. Interesting. And they were saying it with such a serious face. I was like, why would you even say that right now? Now you're just furthering the conspiracy.
Right.
Ah, it was crazy.
Dude, I have been running at Bob and Tom, where I run the cameras, and we have been going live on Facebook. I'm using a backstage. Look at this. God damn. It's getting me.
It's the old wooden back scratcher, the tiny claw hand.
I think I think I got the poison ivy or the Rona on my back. Mm. Anyway, it's itching like a motherfucker. So I've been running we've been going all month. We have been on YouTube live every morning for 4 hours, and thousands of people are watching, and we have a chat stream that goes, and my only rule is like, don't like spread rumors about like the fucking cast, and
right.
don't talk politics.
Yeah.
Like, other than that, I really don't give a fuck what you do on there, but I'm moderating it. And today, yeah. you know, eventually people log on and immediately just start talking politics. And, you know, again today, and this guy, he's on every day and he's cool. Like, he never, he's always has funny things to say. And today I was like, once again, no politics. And I know to be funny, the very next thing he types is Trump 2020. And I immediately block him and ban him for the day. And, and so he comes back under another name like 20 minutes later.
Of course.
Like, why'd you block me? And I go,
yeah, he's a good guy. Got a burner YouTube account ready to go.
Yeah. And he's
salt of the earth, Jeff. I can't believe you.
He goes, why'd you block me? And I go, because I said no politics. And he goes, I was just trying to be funny. And I go, yeah, so was I. And everyone thought it was hilarious when I blocked your ass. So don't, like, I'm going to win every time. I'm the moderator.
I
get to decide what stays on and what goes. And every time I will, and lots of times people are, I can tell they're just trying to be funny. And it's like, nope, you're gone. I got better shit to do today than have you, like, 5G COVID, like, rumor spreading bullshit.
I want to start a live stream and just call it COVID-19 free for all. And I just want to get on there and just be like, ready, set, go. And just let the thread run. Like, no talking, anything. Just let people go on there and just have their arguments. Yeah. Like, hey, here's a place where you can get on here and argue and just go for it. And just, I'll just read them out loud from the side. That'll be the whole conversation.
What do you think is like a good product? You could just put a blurb out there being like, hey, I was just at Kroger or whatever, and they're saying they're not going to have any of this for 2 weeks. What do you think you could put out there that would really freak people out?
Maybe toothpaste. Or something,
that would be,
you know,
good one.
Something that's important to people. Like, hey, they say that, like, we have 2 weeks supply of toothpaste left, and then we're gonna have to start making our own. Like, fucking, we have to go back to the old west on. Yeah, you know how they used to use charcoal back in the like survivalist days, and just scrub their teeth with that.
I'd like to start one telling people that Netflix is going out of business. Just watch them.
Yeah, they're taking the money and running.
They said they're done.
Yeah, yeah, we quit tomorrow. We're keeping all the movies. We got all your money.
And you got till the end of April, and then we're done.
Yeah,
they're gonna run off with the Charmin people. The Charmin and Netflix combine and just buy China.
Dude, that's so funny. Awesome. Like, what stops them from doing that? You know what I mean?
I don't know, but I was
like, other than wanting to continue to be make more and more money.
I know.
Like, me personally, I don't care how much money I made. I think if I hit the lottery for like a million, I think I'd quit. I would keep working. Like, but if I hit for like $42 million, like, I'm not gonna fucking keep working. Like, I don't, I'd be like, hey guys, I'm not going to be on next week's podcast. I'm rich motherfuckers.
I'm leaving.
Bye.
I have, like, way too much world traveling to do in my Learjet.
I am not accessible to anybody. So I'm going to, I live a better life than any of you could ever imagine. And your podcast can't showcase how great it is. I'm out.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think,
Yeah, I'm the same way. There's definitely a dollar amount where people just don't hear from me anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just will have so much fucking fun anonymously that, man, maybe not even anonymously, because I might make the news on a couple of things I want to do. But other than that,
because we'll find out Todd's just going and trolling chat rooms to the point where, like, he's getting, like, people calling the police on him, like, for making threat.
It's be some weird thing where he's like, no, Marnie, look, see, I've got a computer over here. I'm in one chat room. And I got another computer over here. I'm in another chat room. I got like five computers going. It's fantastic. Get all Howard Hughes on us.
They were showing pictures. They were like, look how we're arming our emergency services personnel and our healthcare professionals. And would show like screenshot photos of some nurse with all this fancy gear on and shit. And then Marnie was like, where are they getting that? I work in surgery and I've never seen that shit. Like, we have to beg for regular masks at this point.
Dude, they don't have anything.
No. Yeah. So misleading.
So crazy.
Yeah. So it makes me want to just keep buying dogs, though. Not buying dogs, but rescuing dogs. Well, if this goes much longer, I'm bringing in some more.
Have you seen a few shelters have posted like they're out of dogs. Like,
oh, this really? Is
the first time the shelter has been empty because people are so lonely. They're going
those poor dogs.
Makes sense.
Well, it's like, well, in 6 months, those shelters are going to be packed again for all those people who shouldn't have had a dog who went and got one and lost their fucking mind. Yeah,
those poor bastards are in for a rough 6 months, too. They're getting a lot laid on them right now.
Just sad owners that are lonely.
I know.
God, this guy's fucking annoying. He won't shut the fuck up. I just want to take a nap.
Here are pictures at the bar I normally drink at.
That's great. Go get a dog. I mean, we've been talking about wanting another puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as I got that stimulus check, I was like, hey, it's dog buying time. But I haven't. But this is a perfect time to get a puppy because you're there to housebreak it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what takes normally so long to housebreak a puppy, is because you're gone like half the day and you
right.
know what the fuck's going on. But when you're there 24/7, you can take it out every 45 minutes, picks that shit up pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. I've never been a better dog owner than right now, because it's just 24/7. Oh, Jeff's got a moth.
I got a moth.
Look at that.
Where'd you adopt that moth from, Jeff? Jeff's rescue moth.
I'm doing anything. Hey, Pretzel.
That's Jeff's rescue moth, Pretzel.
See you soon, buddy.
That thing was big, dude.
I know, terrifying. I hate moths. Huge.
Dude, when I was in the Marine Corps, they had these moths that were as big as your hand, like, you know, just flying around the desert. And people would dare me to eat the moths. And so everybody, like, I would gather the circle, and if I ate the moth, everybody in that circle had to buy me a pitcher of beer when we got back for the weekend. So I would drink like for free all weekend, just eating like 4 moths throughout the week.
What are you talking about, you lunatic?
I love how you're saying this is a great deal. You've got great deal energy behind the story.
It was free beer. I was like, all I gotta do is eat a few moths. I mean,
yeah, a big few moths the size of your hand.
I would not eat a moth the size of my thumb for a free beer. Like,
they weirdly have no taste.
Do they have bones at that size? I mean,
they're mostly wings. It's just. It's kind of like sandy before you choke it down. You just real fast, you know.
I don't know if I gained or lost respect for you just now. Like, this is going to take a day or two.
What is happening?
That I have a podcast with a moth eater.
Yeah, I had forgotten about it. And then some friends of mine from the Marine Corps days came to my show in Springfield, Illinois. And we were drinking afterward, and they brought that up, and I was like, oh, I forgot about that. And they were like, you would just grab those big-ass moths and fucking eat them. And then everybody had to buy you your beer. Like, we drank for free all fucking weekend. And it was so dumb, because we weren't even 21 yet, so the only place we could drink was on base at the Enlisted Club. So I think a pitcher of beer was like $3. So it's like cheap as fuck anyway. But, you know. I was a crazy moth eating guy.
You
truly are a toad. You're eating bugs.
How funny would that be if, like, they all brought like a bunch of moths and released them during your show? Like, that's like the new moniker,
the new thing.
As everyone starts bringing live moths to the show,
you're gonna have to bring a moth guy, or else you won't get booked anywhere again. Yeah.
It's like that room in Silence of the Lambs that he had in his basement with all the fucking fancy moths flying around.
Oh, dude, did you ever at no point during that time were you like, maybe I have a drinking problem?
Oh, like, I knew maybe. I had a drinking problem. That's all my life was just waiting for the weekend just to get blacked out every night.
Eating yeah,
you waited until the weekend.
Yeah, but when you're 18
that's not
and you're
a drinking problem.
Yeah, you're 18 and you're in the best shape of your life. You're like nothing bothers you. You're like, oh, there's no hangovers. There's none of that.
Yeah, it's magical.
Yeah,
my hangovers kicked in around 25. Mm-hmm. That's when they started really.
Yeah,
they start hanging out with you for the whole day. You know,
when you started having a normal life.
Yeah,
that's what crazy. Happens. Do you remember those days though, when you were younger and you could just do whatever the fuck you wanted?
Oh, it's
your body. There was no consequences physically.
I could drink a whole fifth of Jameson whiskey and then just be fine the next morning.
Oh yeah. I used to do the same thing. I would drink a fifth of Southern Comfort at every party in college.
Yeah.
Just fucking early. I would drink early times. Just
fine.
Just fucking straight from the bottle. No problem. Yeah. Never bothered me. You get up the next day. Hey, what are we doing?
Oh, get up next day.
More drinking, play some video games, watch some porn. What are we doing?
This is the biggest difference between when you and I would have been young men. Is that porn was like a group event for you guys because somebody had to find a tape or something.
It was, whereas, yeah. Yeah.
Whereas for us, it's a private thing. Were you?
Oh, very private.
I mean, you guys know how it is now. This has been for me.
They were like watch parties. So you had to get some crazy genre. Like we watched one called Fatliners, and it had Ron Jeremy in it. It was made basically just mimicking the movie Flatliners, except they're like all very much plus size women, like. That tripled probably Ron Jeremy's size. So we'd watch those. Anything with, like, there was a Christmas theme one with little people that were elves, and we were like, oh, that'd be fun. You know what I mean? It had to be like a fun genre to make fun of. So it just turned into this roast fest. It wasn't like people were just
you
like.
You never rented eight guys in a living room watching porn. You never rented that title.
Yeah. Hey, it's us.
Yeah. It wasn't like a jerk fest where everybody picked a recliner and just went to town.
Oh. Did they do that? Did people do that? People didn't jam down in a group, right?
I don't think that happens. I don't know. The world's pretty fucked up place.
I have a, me and my girlfriend, we have a friend who, him and some of his gay buddies, they get together and play video games naked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'll like 8 or 10 of them will get together and play Xbox naked all night. And I think it ends in a jerk fest, but it starts off with video games, naked video games for them.
Really? Are they all in the same room? They're each like us. They're just logged in from home.
Well, this was pre
Corona. Oh, nice.
So yeah, they would all get together at one of their houses or apartments and just play video games naked all night.
What do they play?
I was never invited. God damn, the moth is back.
Oh, look out, Jeff.
Eat these things. If I can catch it, I'll eat it just for you, Todd. I'm nice. Not going to try very hard to catch it, though, I'll be honest. It looks like a formidable opponent. It's
what do you think that is? Six beers, Todd? What do you think you get for that moth?
Yeah, I'll send you a six pack for sure. It's a little moth. It's not a full pitcher.
Oh my God! I have the best question for you. Can we launch right into ask a cop a Todd?
Yeah,
ask a cop a question.
Let's do it. Yeah, but real quick, let me knock something out. I want everybody to know that's listening. Hardships in life can be tough. Overcoming them and rebuilding yourself can be even tougher, but can be easier with support of loved ones and the right help. From Audio Boom comes a brand new health and wellness podcast, Here's the Sitch with Mike and Lawrence, hosted by Jersey Shore's Mike the Situation Sorrentino and his wife, Lauren. Mike and Lauren invite you into their personal lives to discuss everything from healthy living, recovery from addiction, and much more. Join the Situation as he gets candid on life after jail, getting back to work, and the steps he's taking to rebuild his life to be better than before. This Audio Boom original podcast has new episodes every Tuesday and is available on your favorite podcast app right now. While you're listening to this, be sure to search for and subscribe to Here's the Sitch with Mike and Lawrence in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever your favorite podcast app may be. Okay, on to cop questions.
He leads this with, I'm not trying to be funny here, makes me think. He's full of shit. You know, it's like when one of my great uncle says, I'm not trying to be racist. Yeah, you are. Like, you're you aren't trying, you just are. Like,
right.
So this this is from the big fella on Twitter. Todd, I'm not trying to be funny here, but did you ever have to arrest someone with one arm? If so, how did you handcuff them? If not, how would you handcuff them?
I've never had to do it. My buddy arrested a person with one arm before, and he handcuffed him to his own belt. He like brought it to the side, like on the opposite, like it was, I think it was his right arm. So he put it through the belt loop in his jeans and through the belt, like crossways with one cuff, and then cuffed to his wrist on the other. And I thought, that was pretty inventive.
That's clever.
Like, kind of puts him in a position. And he even made sure he took the buckle of the belt and like shifted to the opposite side of the body so that he couldn't like get away without, you know, I assume if he really would have tried hard enough, he could have ripped that, that belt loop off. But, you know, on the fly, pretty good. He's going to have to, you know, at least go through some steps before he can get the fuck out and you got time to react, you know. But I'm like, it was a DUI. It was a DUI too. So it wasn't like it was a mass murderer or something, you know. But
so basically what you're saying is if you have one arm, always wear sweats. They won't be able
to. We gotta let them go.
we can't safely apprehend you, sir.
Dude's wearing breakaway pants. We don't have a chance.
You know, they used to, you see in movies, they like handcuff somebody to a file cabinet or something, you know, in the office. And there was always this story, this older guy, when I was a rookie detective, he was the guy I called Shaft. He was like an old black dude, kind of an old school detective. There was a story about him when I got there. There was a bank robber, and he handcuffed him movie style to a file cabinet, and the guy just fucking, you know, pulled the file cabinet out, hit the little release button. And when they came back, the whole fucking drawer was gone, and the guy was nowhere to be found. Just went right out the back door of the post and hit the streets. Find him for like 3 days later.
That sounds like a skill that you learn while working a job where you decide you're going to become a bank robber. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing some boring ass filing job and you're like, I gotta get out of here.
I thought you were gonna say he came back and got beaten with the file drawer. Like, he was just like just handcuffed, just using it like a weapon,
fighting his way out with his file drawer.
Now, have you ever handcuffed anyone to anything? Like, while you had to go run off and do something else?
No, I haven't. I always wanted to. I always thought it was cool to, like, what you see in movies where they handcuff somebody to a fence or something. You'd be like, you wait here, and you have to go chase down somebody else.
Yeah.
But to me, that was so much running. I just would have, like, just been happy to catch one. Be like, hey,
we're done.
Sucks for you. You're not as fast as your friend.
What would you say, and this is just me, when you mentioned running from the police, what would you say is your percentage of chasing them down on foot to running them down with your car? Like, to me, I never understood. Like, my favorite is when, like, they're just running next to the police car and the guy's just like, boink, just slammed them into the car.
I'd fuck that up.
Yeah, you dumb. Like, I wouldn't run on foot.
That's another one I always wanted to do, is just open the car door and boom, knock the guy in his ass.
You never did that?
No, I did have the one where I was driving next to the dude for a good like 30 seconds before he realized we were actually right beside him. But that happened in reverse to me one time. We were on foot chasing this dude from like a buy bus drug deal, and he was real fast, but I was like real young then, so I was real fast. And I'm like on this guy's heels, and my partner is with me and he's running. And right as we pass a car, a lady gets out of her car, doesn't see us coming, opens the car door, and my buddy runs into the car door at a full sprint, just fucking down to the ground.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It just was kicked off.
funniest shit I've ever seen. Yeah. Oh,
that had to hurt so bad.
Oh, and it fucked up her car door. Like, she couldn't get it shut again afterwards. It's like, oh, my car, my car. My buddy's like, fuck your car, lady. I can't fucking breathe.
So you do you prefer on foot if you're going to be in a pursuit? Are you pretty fast, Todd?
Not now, but yeah, back in the day, I was real fast. I liked them because I could catch most people.
Yeah.
And then another one I had, I used to like to show off how fast I was. I got out on foot and chased a guy, and it was into a projects, and they have fencing between each building that's about 15, 16 foot high, I would say, and it's to keep foot traffic out the projects. And the guy in front of me that I'm chasing hits it and like Spider-Man, ching, 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 like four hands on it, 4 feet on it, right over the top. And then it gets to me and I'm like, ching, ching. I get like three and I'm at the top. And the fencing, the little clip, the little ties at the top had been cut. So the fencing then bends backward and I ride it all the way back to the ground with this fence on top of me.
Oh my God. Fuck?
And then to come to find out afterward, because the guy gets away, the Indianapolis cops that showed up when we called for help, they were like, yeah, man, they cut the tops off of that and practice getting over it. You'll never make it. And I was like, fuck, are you serious?
These guys are running drills.
Yeah, they're running drills.
They're like practice little how local Al Qaeda out there running their little playground setup.
Like their own little obstacle course. It's like a cop trap, you know? You grab the fence and it falls back.
That is, I bet there's a website called coptraps.com where it's just nothing but cops falling on chain link fences.
That's so brilliantly good.
Like,
I know it's bad, but it's at the same time,
it's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. We laughed our ass off after because I was a rookie and my first sergeant shows up, the guy in charge of our whole office shows up afterward and he's smoking a cigarette and he's in his Crown Vic and he rolls down the window and he waves me over and I get to his car door and he goes, what have we learned today? And I was like, don't chase people on foot in the hood. And he goes, exactly.
I love it.
Now we don't run in the hood, Todd.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine them just, all right, you're on door duty, you're on lookout, and I need you two to go practice running the fence.
Oh, yeah.
Until you, dude. It took you 25 seconds last time. You didn't even fucking make it over. So until you can show me what the hell you guys can do on the fence, I'm going to fuck it. You ain't going to make a goddamn penny. Get out one there arm, and practice.
One arm Daryl cleared it in 20 seconds with his arm handcuffed to his belt.
It was such a well-practiced drill, too, because when I finally got out from under the fence and I round the corner around that building, there's like 100 people all of a sudden outside of their apartments. And they're like, of course, we didn't see nothing. Nobody came around corner. What are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, let's make fun of the young white cop now. Oh, yeah. Like fucking, I'm an
idiot. Of course, Todd. That's one of the best things they'd get to do.
Yeah, it's the highlight of their evening.
I remember when I was in college during homecoming, there was like a pizza stand out on the corner. This thing was mobbed with people. There's like 150 people crowded around this thing. So this cop car pulls up. What's that called when you just go like whoop whoop? What is that? Is there a term for that?
It's called the whoop whoop.
Is it the whoop whoop?
The old whoop whoop.
I forget what it's called, but there's actually, it used to be anyway, a button on your siren for that. It's just like a quick burst. Yeah. It's just like, hey, so jackass, get out of my way.
They let that out and people kind of start filing back on because they had pushed out into this intersection. They start filing up onto the street. I'm across this catty corner watching this. Out of the middle of the mob comes a piece of pizza lobbed, lands on the hood of this cop car. Now, most of the college cops were like dudes who I think were hurt or just out of shape, old. Like they were all just like tubby, dipshit looking dudes. Out of this cop car come the two fittest, and I'm going to go ahead and throw it on there, fucking handsomest dudes I've ever seen. They get out. Here's where the dude fucked up. The dude that threw it could have just floated around in this sea of people. He just takes off running out of the crowd like a fucking moron. He literally got like 8 steps before this dude, he cocks down. I swear this police officer went down into like a sprinter's stance all of a sudden, shoots off, nails this guy so fast, takes him down to the ground, and his buddy comes running up behind him, thinking he's going to smooth this out, which, Todd, I'm sure you've probably seen this happen. The guy's like, whoa, 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 be cool, man. Well, all this cop knows is there's somebody coming at me from my peripheral right now.
Right.
He pops right up in like fucking John Cena style, clotheslines this dude into the ground. It was the greatest shit I've ever seen. I was like, those guys are earning their money tonight. I mean, it was on. It was awesome.
We had to chase a dude one time, and we had this new guy, Greg, in our unit. It was a black dude, and he played in the NFL for like 4 years, I think. He was kind of like a practice squad, sometimes special teams guy, but his position was cornerback. And I remember because I helped do his background investigation, and like all his – the only contact information he had for employment was like coach so-and-so. And, of course, all those coaches move teams every year, you know, so he had – it was a nightmare to do his background, trying to track down all the people. So we get in this chase one time, and the dude takes off, and Greg fucking like a cat, because he runs like a 4.3 40. So he's like, and he freaking catches a guy before I didn't even pivot yet to take my first step. He's like, boom. And I'm like, that's not even fun. Like, his foot pursuits aren't even going to be any fun for you. You're too fast.
You're all over it. That's awesome, though.
Yeah. And he was a big dude, too. So when he put the grabs on you, it was over.
Oh, dude, it was done.
Yeah. Yeah.
That grip strength, that's a nightmare. I don't know if, my brother's got this. I remember growing up. Once he gets a hold of you, his hands are so strong.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get them off of you. I'm sure anyone who's, you know, a professional athlete like that's going to have those little crab claws that are just nail you.
We had an assistant coach in my high school wrestling team who was a volunteer coach, but he was a farmer, right? Was his day job?
So no.
He had these freaky forearms and hands like, they're, you know, no jar of pickles is secure from this guy. Like, he could open anything. And he, when he wrestled you, he just would grab your arm and almost could just make you give up just by squeezing. Yeah. And I'm like, this is no fun to wrestle you. Because
you could feel death was scared of him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, and he wasn't even a great wrestler, but this incredible ape-like strength he had in his freaking forearms and hands were incredible. So
don't fuck with farmers. I know. I don't care what they look like. They're strong as shit.
Cock strong.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Here's a question from Duke Marmot on Twitter. Have you, were you ever offered sex, a BJ, or a handy to get out of an arrest or a ticket by a male or a female?
Yeah, lots of females offered it.
Okay.
All the time.
Really?
All the time. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Like
usually crack whore-ish creatures that you wouldn't be interested in, but they're and when they do, you're like, how many times has this worked? Because you didn't hesitate to offer this up right away.
Oh my god, I feel like that's such a cliche.
I know, right?
Like somewhere there's some pizza delivery spot manager having to tell the driver, listen, don't go in, you're gonna be getting lots of offers and get fucked. Yeah. Just drop off the pizzas and get out of there, okay?
Yeah.
They're just gonna rob you.
Yeah.
So would you say you've been offered it 10 times, 50 times, 100 times?
Easily in the 20s or 30s, I would say.
Whoa.
Easily. I even had one girl like take her top off. Like, we were looking for this girl that claimed she had been.
This is a bus.
Yeah. This one girl had claimed that she had been abducted over a period of like 4 days. And
aliens are just
just a random person on the street.
Okay.
Had kidnapped her for 4 days. All we knew at that point was like she'd been reported missing by her husband.
Yeah.
And obviously not all the details had been given to us, because when she finally calls in and says, oh, I've managed to break free, here I am, she did so from a gas station, and when the first responding officer showed up, the first thing he noticed was that she had an ankle bracelet on. So, like, she was on house arrest, which strangely enough, I didn't know at that point in time. And I'm like, oh, so wait a minute. Somebody went missing from house arrest for 4 days. So usually we just call that ding, an escape. Ding, ding. Yeah, it's usually an escape. It's not an abduction. So then to find out, you know, she's on house arrest for drug charges. Da, da, da. So I'm like, oh, probably somebody just fell off the wagon, but we'll investigate it, see what happens. So we start tracking down her story. She's like, well, it started, you know, this guy abducted me and took me to this apartment. I'm like, well, can you drive us to the apartment? Yeah. So she drives us out there. We get there. The people that the leasing company were like, apartment's empty, but street people kind of wander in and out of there. So maybe. So we get up there and they let us in, open the door, and there's a street lady person in there, like living currently. And we're trying to talk to her, and she thinks she's going to be arrested because that's probably what she's used to, for trespassing or whatever. And we're just trying to find out, you know, was anybody else here? Da, 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 da. And she panics and she goes, I can't go to jail. And she fucking takes off her shirt, just her titties flopping out everywhere. And she's like, do to me whatever you want. I cannot go back to jail. And I was like, don't think this is an enticing offer right now. Like, I would rather go to jail than touch your titties.
Incredible strength, like, yeah. Incredible strength you displayed. Proud of you.
Oh my God.
And then another time, my buddy and I were on a stakeout and we were watching these motels for a fugitive to leave. And we go into Denny's parking lot, which is adjacent to the parking lot for the hotel. And we park kind of hidden by this dumpster. Well, evidently when you park it right there at the Denny's by that dumpster, that lets every hooker in that hotel know that you want a blowjob. So one walks out, comes straight to us. It's me and my buddy in a regular car that you wouldn't know was a police car. But we do have like police vests on once you get close. So she walks up and taps on the window and I roll down the window. We're both wearing vests that say police. We have a radio going. People are talking. And she goes, so what can I get you boys? And I was like, oh, nothing. We're good. We're just sitting here taking a break. And she goes, you the police? And you're like, yeah. You can go about your business. And she goes, so you don't want a blowjob? I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, wow. No, you're sitting in some cop's spot there, Todd.
Yeah, I know. Like, how many cops are getting blown by this Denny's dumpster?
I bet a bunch.
Yeah.
Man, talk about the moons over your hammy, huh? Wait, or talk about your grand slam, huh? Or talk about your, oh wait, that's all the Denny's food items, I know. That's as equally hilarious as it is sad.
I know, right? It's like such, it's a slipping into just a different world. You're like, oh, this is so different from where I spend my days.
All right. Brandon Champagne wants to know, how much free shit do cops actually get? Like food, coffee, clothes, etc.
When I first got on, you would get free McDonald's, at least where I hung out. And you would get half off at a lot of fast food places. But then a bunch of that fell off because cops are fucking idiots. Like, the free McDonald's ended where I live because some dumbass local cop decided that, oh, I just, whenever I put on my uniform, I can just go through the drive-thru and order meals for my entire family and get it for free and take it home. And I'm like, you dumb motherfucker. Like, we just came in here for free coffee.
Yeah.
And then we would tip in the thing, you know, because they insist you take it for free. So you're just like, you fucking ruined it for everybody. So I think I don't even know if it still exists now. And then police rules came up where they call it graft. You're like, oh, you can't take favor for anything. So you can't take free shit. So I would assume it's almost all but gone now. I don't know. Maybe free coffee, but you got to pay for your food or something like that.
It's always fucking assholes who fuck it up for the cool people.
Someone ruins it every time.
It's the same reason that, like at some comedy clubs, you work at, they're cool. And if, you know, they comp your drinks for the week or the weekend. Other comedy
clubs, and food,
they give you like two tickets and they're like, hey, motherfucker, when your two tickets are done for the night, you're paying for everything.
I know.
You come to find out, you're like, oh, I wonder why they're so fucking stingy. And then I worked a club in Bloomington, Indiana with a comedian who shall be unnamed. And I had one draft beer. This guy, the headliner, was drinking, some sort of tequila that's an expensive tequila. Like, and not like 1500. Like, I'm talking like a specific name brand
that
is escaping me right now. That's,
it's like $80 a bottle.
Yeah, it's an expensive tequila. So I think it was Trace Generations. One of those.
Like, okay.
It's expensive tequila. He drinks a lot of it. He goes up. He does his fine show. Afterwards, we're sitting there, and the waitress comes over and hands him a $90 tab. And he's like, "No, I was the comedian tonight." And she goes, "Yeah, only draft beers here are free. Like everything else, you have to pay for." And he goes, "No, but I'm the comic." And she goes, "Yeah, I'm aware of that.
I work here, I know."
"You owe me 90 goddamn dollars."
It's always like that.
At which point he goes, "Well, they mailed the check to me, so I don't have any cash or any money on me." And it was at that point I was like, "Hey, it was nice meeting you. I'll see you soon, Sarah." And I got the fuck up and bolted because I wasn't getting stuck with his $90 guy.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if he knew he was paying for that, he would have had maybe one.
Exactly.
Or he would have had none.
Yeah.
But because it was free, in his mind, he thought it was free. So he was just tossing them back, not giving a fuck about who's paying for it or anyone's bill. And then you go, "Oh, I understand why we have drink and food tickets now."
Exactly. And it's always like that too. Like every comic bitch is like, "Oh, you know, I just played so-and-so's club and you only get like two drink tickets. That's it for the whole fucking week or a night." And you're like, okay, talk to the staff. Because every time there's a story about some comic who drank them out of four bottles of the most expensive tequila.
Yeah.
You know, like, and got so shit-faced they fucking shit the bed in their late shows. You know, right. It's like they're protecting the integrity of their show and not trying to lose their ass on some comic. You know what I mean?
That's the biggest thing is don't get too boozed up to perform. I mean, so many comics do that.
So many
comics, when the free drinks start rolling, they're not thinking. And next thing you know, like, oh shit, I've had six beers and I still got another hour to do.
Obviously. And then the amount of them that drink their ass off all weekend and then don't even tip the person that waited on them.
That's shitty. You hear those
stories all the time too. And it's like, well, no wonder it's two drinks a show. Yeah.
I perform in enough venues that aren't comedy clubs too, that I hear all the time, like, oh, it's a comedy show. They know any local comics that come to watch it, half of them don't tip well.
Right.
I mean, comedians are not very good tippers.
No. And it always kills those non-comedy club shows because the staff has to enjoy having the comedy show.
They do.
The comedy show's not going to last. Like, and none of the comics tip or anything. They're like, I'm not coming here to work for free.
People don't understand how much managers listen to the staff about stuff because people are like, that was a great comedy show. You're like, that's cool, but the bar would have made more money if they just hired a DJ.
Or if they didn't have anything. Like if they just let their normal Tuesday night crowd come in, they would have done better than having comedy or music.
Right.
No, I've seen it happen. And it's like that's the bad part about and it's also the bad part about starting out as a comic. Like when you're going out and you're working clubs and bars and you're doing seven nights a week out, like I was spending $100 to $200 a week to go do comedy.
Yeah.
Because I was buying food while I was there. Mm-hmm. I was tipping while I was there. I was buying a shit ton of drinks. I was paying for a cab home. I was like, yeah. It was, I mean, it was costing me serious, like minimum $100 a week to go do comedy. And that's not even including the gas. And that was to do open mic comedy around the town.
Exactly. No, it's just the way it is. Like tonight I'm going to spend $20 doing comedy. Like, you know, that you just know that going in.
And then later on, people are like, oh, what'd you make to do this show? And it's like, oh, I made $500. They're like, you made $500 for a half an hour? It's like, I spent $5,000 in the first 3 years of comedy to be able to get on stage. Like, I'm still not even. Yeah. Like, I need like 500 more $500 nights to even break even on my comedy.
It's so true.
I do feel like comedy in general pays better than a lot of music does, though.
Yeah, because here's what I found.
Share.
At a certain level, the pay is the same. It's just, is it one person or two people doing it, or is it eight? Yeah. It's however you're divvying up the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends in bands, and comedy, the fact anyone pays me anything to talk is astonishing, and I'm ecstatic for it. Like, I never thought I would make money doing this, but I was back when I first started, back when, you know, I may make $10 for a show, and you're like, oh, I'm getting paid tonight. Like, I'm not gonna lose money. Like, I had a friend whose band who was playing the Melody, and I was like, so does that pay pretty good? And they're like, yeah, we're getting like 150. And I was like, dude, 150, you know, there's five of you, you each making 150 for the night. Like, that's good money. Like, I only got $10 my last show. And they're like, oh, no, that's for the five of us. Like, total. Right. Like, that's 150 for five of us to split. And we got to be there 4 hours early for a sound check. And I was like, oh, I'm glad I have no musical talent. Comedy. It's so much easier.
I could be addicted to something that's way less profitable than even comedy. Austin, did you put together another real history for us?
I did. Oh, I did. And I feel like this is fitting, too, because neither Jeff and I are wearing a hat. And you can see that we've got our fucking big quarantine hair going on. How are you looking, Todd?
Let's see. So far, it's growing out. It's growing out. I'm thinking about, because I used to cut my own hair when I kept it like tight. So I'm thinking about just going back to the shorter buzz cut. I can just manage it myself.
Well, I was getting interested because one thing I have noticed is that all the bangs out there are fucked by this point. I mean, no one there's not a decent set of bangs out there right now unless you're a hairdresser. So I thought we'd cover a little history on bangs.
Nice.
Cuz I was at the grocery store near my house and on an essential run. I don't know what I was buying.
It must have been that mostly important.
But there was a girl there whose bangs were just fucking done. They were like too long to that sheepdog type look, and they were just all kind of stick. I know this is not the normal bang status that she's used to. And
so I was like, I don't know. I that sounds out. Hot to me. I like when they have to look through their hair to see me.
Right.
That sort of sweep over thing that they do all the time. So
call it the sheepdog.
And I don't know about you, but I've never been I shouldn't say this. I'm sure there's some nice people out there, but women with bangs tend to be a lot.
They tend to be pretty opinionated.
Yeah,
in my experience, it's like if I see that you have bangs, especially if they're cut straight across, I'm like, this person's not going to laugh at anything I say.
And you're just like, you were looking for something else to do, so you got bangs, so you can make your day that much busier. And it turns out bangs have been around for quite a while, so difficult women is nothing new, apparently. So who do you think, when you think of first bangs, who do you think had the earliest bangs?
Ooh, I think of the Roman Empire.
Yeah, for some reason. Close. Cleopatra. Kind of
okay.
Egyptians, right? She gets credit for first bangs. Well, I guess that's who I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
And in my sort of
I'm
weird
not gonna doubt you.
pop culture history brain, she had bangs, but apparently she didn't. I learned that.
She did not have bangs?
Apparently not. I guess bangs were scribbled on a wall, and so somebody put her on, gave her bangs in a movie, and that's that. So
she got photoshopped back in the day.
On the got retcon drawings. Bangs. Yeah. So she has bangs. she's just banging it out. Now this is an epitome of a difficult woman with bangs, right? So I think she had sex with her brother and she killed herself with a snake. If that's not bang energy, I don't know what is. And they were that hard line there, Todd.
Yeah, that's not a death that surprises me for someone really, with that hairstyle.
Surprisingly, is that what that Ricky Martin song is about?
She banged, exactly. Yeah. That's about. Might as well be called She Set All Your Shit on Fire. And really, honestly, I was surprised no one does any significant bang work until like the 1800s.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, there wasn't much. Now I'm focusing on lady bangs.
Right.
Maybe she ruined the bang the way Hitler ruined the tiny mustache.
Oh, like they had to cool it off for a while?
Yeah, like they had to give it a break for a few centuries.
Whoa, wait a minute, Cleopatra. What are you doing with your hair? I'm sorry.
So I guess when you do think about it, though, I do remember a lot of depictions of sort of that medieval page boy mushroom cap thing. So that maybe bangs were just a guy thing for a while. I don't know. Todd, you had bangs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you had bangs back in that day, that was just to let people know that you would carry shit for them, that you were a person of no importance. Like, oh, carry this bucket of piss, bang boy.
That's why I have a stupid haircut. So right. You know, not to respect me.
What about what's the church choir where all the boys got their nuts cut off?
The eunuchs.
The Vienna Boys Choir or whatever. Like there was a lot of boy bangs there, I think, going on
at that church. And choir. That is kind of that came back around, just the little bang thing in the front, which I think I could do with my little hair island. that thing, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like it was popular with babies in the 20s and then also white kids who wanted to be gangsters. A move that they did. So 1800s rolls around, bangs come back into style a little bit. They're doing curled bangs, which I think it's a child's bang, really. That's nice.
Anything of significance with an adult with the curly Q bang? Did that, other than that you were, your weakness was kryptonite and that you could stop trains with your hands?
That's a great bang, though. I think, I'm not even sure that's a bang. That just might be a loose lock of hair.
Yeah.
At that point, I think you got to have at least a couple inches of width.
Right.
To qualify.
To be considered a bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. to be bangable. So. Really nothing big. And then the 20s hits and women started wearing pants and the bangs came back in and they had those short little ones up there. Have you ever seen those?
Yes.
Like institution bangs.
Yes. There. It's like straight jacket bangs almost. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of the room. If you see those, that's nothing good.
You're not even trying. Nothing good.
Yeah. That's like the lady in quarantine who tried to cut her own bangs and it just kept on like, no, this line will get it. And it goes up another. And then next thing you know, it's up into her scalp.
Oh, exactly.
That's what we call insane perseverance.
Yeah.
that's insane perseverance and an ego that doesn't quit. They're going to get it right.
Also, the haircut I used to get when I was a little kid, when my mom would let my aunts cut my hair, because they knew no technique. They just went straight across with the scissors and they thought that they were accomplishing something by doing that. Well, they're straight. Yes, they're straight. And I think that's the problem. They're not supposed to be straight. Like you're supposed to put some contour cuts in there.
Chip it out a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So from there, they go sleeper on us again. I think the depression took them out. The high maintenance costs to some of these bangs, I think. And then Betty Page comes along. Are you guys familiar with Betty Page?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. One of the actress. Most bangable of the bangs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she had bangs. She had what's known as bumper bangs, I guess.
They were called what?
Bumper bangs, like where it's a whole molded. Like
a foof thing.
Roll thing.
It does. It looks like a roll. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a dinner roll shape.
Made out of hair. Comes out,
poof. The original Lois Lane on the TV man's, or the Superman TV show had it. Like all the actresses then had that poof that stuck out in the front. Yeah.
And they were all sassy.
And it must have taken 12 hours to prepare. Like, I don't know why.
There was a lot. I think you tried to maintain it for days. Maybe.
You would have to. Because after, I think they used wood lacquer because hairspray wasn't quite to where it is now then. So it was just like a hard shell, you know.
Yeah, that's, you had to really first grade resist.
Paste.
Yeah.
Got a bit of Bondo up
with
in there.
The stick. Hold. They got the tongue suppressor stick.
Don't step on those bangs for 72 hours, but after that, you're fine.
Yeah.
So she gets them going again, and really they hold there for quite a while. And like, that is a very time-consuming bang. I can see both sides of that. You decide you're going to go out. You know your lady's going to put in the time on those bangs. You have some free time to yourself. But fuck, if that bang takes any damage when you're out and about, your whole night's over.
Your whole night's
I can't
over.
Imagine.
I imagine a bad rainstorm will, like most women's hairstyles, will just destroy a bang.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that bumper bang is now just a hang
just
bang.
Dissolving in the rain. It's, I can't imagine,
going to fall and cover their entire face, because there has to be a lot of hair there to create that bang, because it's quite the it protrudes out really, really far.
Yeah, unless you get some extra head added on, I don't know how you create all that mass up front. But yeah, once it dissolves. And can you imagine, too, how disappointing that is? Because I don't know if you guys have ever been out, like, with your lady, but you go to the restaurant that she likes and she's having a good time, and you start thinking, like, oh, yeah, we're probably going to have sex after this. She's having a fantastic time. This is all.
And then I'm like, I'm going to be belching up Whoppers all night.
Yep. And then, you know, you're out with that, with the bumper bang, and the rain hits, and you just see that dissolve right in front of your face. That would be terrible.
Yeah, not having sex tonight, nor do I want to, because you look hideous.
Nope, I got to shovel your fucking hair back into the car to get you home, see if we can get pieces
together. I want to thank, though, the roller derby and the burlesque ladies for bringing the bumper bang back.
Oh, they did.
I am a fan. I am a fan.
They do bump. I will say burlesque women have some very insane hair.
Yes.
I'm loving it.
Structurally speaking, it's incredible.
And they have the hair product for it now.
Like, they do.
Yeah, you can just twice and it's rock hard. And like it's two little spritz. Yeah. You can play a whole roller derby game and it doesn't unfrazzle at all.
Todd, did you do some undercover work at a salon somewhere or something like that?
He's just in there snipping away.
You got a chip. You got to add some
yeah.
some contrasting lines in front of those bangs, girls. So then it's pretty much that. Throughout the 70s, it became more of a normal type bang. Of course, very long hair was popular in the 70s, and it kind of went away. And then you had rolling into the 70s, you started getting that feathered bang, which I think this is more something you guys would be familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
I was a fan of the feathered bang on the ladies.
Farrah
Fawcett. I tried a feathered bang fifth grade year in my hair, and my hair is not feather bangable, so I just look like a lunatic.
Was that like a flock of seagulls type inspiration thing?
No, it was more a back when I think just TJ Hooker was in, and there were a lot of parted down the middle bang back haircuts on dudes, and I really wanted it, and it my head and hair was not designed for that.
So that rowdy Piper type.
Yeah. I wanted the Roddy Piper, but my hair would just fall. Like it would last until I got out the door and just straight down.
Because you have like super white people hair, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like thin. It's not, you know, it
very has straight
no sustenance to it, no curl whatsoever. Now, I do remember the girls, and I would have been little still then, but like girls in the 70s, their bangs would hang and then they would curl the end. So it would have this little flip at the end. And yep, if you watch that 70s show, the, what's the younger girl's name with the black hair? That,
Miley?
Yes. She had that little flip going on in her bangs.
Yes.
And on the edge of the hair. That was the shit.
Yeah.
And I find it very sexy still today. I don't know why it went away, but it did. Probably a one female empowerment thing. I'm sure it was quite a hassle.
So here's, this is the incredible thing about bangs, and that we do need to give some credit for, is that they used to be a generational type thing.
Yeah.
You know, everyone got their shot at the bangs. It was like the World's Fair. You know what I mean? Like, we'd come around every once in a while, and you'd put your spin on it, and everyone would do it. It was great. But now bangs are just everlasting. They're around all the time. I mean, they used to be like cicadas, but now they're fucking
now,
every
my,
year.
My favorite bangs from the 80s were, I was a big fan when I was coming up, of the Wonder Years and Winnie Cooper.
Yeah, yeah.
Had the bangs, and that was my look. There was a girl all through my grade school who had the Winnie Cooper haircut, named Jenny Clifford, and I probably made her life hell for 8 years because I loved those bangs and the long hair. Like, it's that's my downfall. That was my downfall as a school age boy. The Winnie Cooper hair,
just staring at her hair.
Oh yeah. I would sit behind her and play with her hair, probably because she was Jesus. Too terrified to go, please don't touch me. You're making me uncomfortable. Stop touching me. Or she may have told me to stop touching her. Like, it was way pre-Me Too. And I was...
I completely thought this was going to be like a sweet story where
she's like,
Jeff, stop staring at me. I didn't know you were like fucking taking hair and shit. No,
I wasn't taking hairs home. Like, yes. It wasn't like I would cut her hair and like took it home and sniffed it, but the Winnie Cooper, that was my jam back in the day with the bangs.
Winnie Cooper was a sex idol. She was for us, which is weird because she was probably 13, but we were also
13.
Yeah, I know. We were also 13. So
that was a great show.
Yeah, if I just now saw it for the first time and I was like, hey, that Wendy Cooper, she's a looker. Like, then, yes, that's a problem.
I used to look like Kevin Arnold when I was a little kid, so.
I looked like Paul without the glasses and without the confidence.
Oh, man.
More acne.
Damn. That's brutal. Anyway, it's just pretty much that until I think you guys are familiar. Then the hair metal, as we've spoken about, came around. And in the 80s, bangs went upward again.
Yeah.
Which, these were not bump bangs. You guys want to give some survivor recollections here of what these bangs were? Because I don't know how they're very kind of spread out thin, but as high as they could go.
Mm-hmm.
And you could fucking...
It was almost the reverse. It was almost the bump bang flipped up top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, you had this huge
thing.
Yeah. And it was all about the first time, like, guys were like, we can use hairspray too. You know what I mean? It was very much like, what position can I get the hair to stay in? Because then punk rock came and it was like the faux hawk, or not the real mohawks came, and it was like all this, or your hair, you had to get it spiky. So it was spiky all around. Like in the kind of skater days, you know, like Sid Vicious and those people. So that was an entire like decade of how can we make our hair do the most unnatural things possible? And it was just this exploration of different things, trying to, you know, get one thing to fit. But
In my opinion, in my research, that was the last era of a distinct look for bangs, because then after that it just goes nuts and they're pulling everything out of the bag now.
Yeah.
And it's everything. It's the straight bangs, it's the bumper beeps. Guys, I will say this, I don't think we're seeing a lot of those late 80s early 90s hairspray bangs anymore. I think that's done.
No, it'll take until we get to the position that they're in Hunger Games, like in that movie, and then people will have crazy hair like in the Hunger Games, like the rich people have. And then that'll come, and you'll have like fucking plastic fruit baskets and shit hanging
out. I think the problem is that like real squirrely white trash people hung on to those bangs for a long time, so they're just they're tainted. Like no one wants that look.
I don't know. Bangs to me now say like, you know, like let me speak to your manager. Like yes. Me when I see bangs on a lady, yeah. I'm like, oh God, I'm so glad I don't work anywhere where she has to talk to me.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about them that they think it's like, oh, look, I'm fun and spontaneous, but it's, I don't know. I've lived with somebody who had bangs. It was a fucking nightmare. Like, I heard about those things for a month before they felt confident walking around with them. So, and honestly, I've not seen any downtick in bangs, guys. So I think it's a bull market on bangs for a while.
I like it a lot. That was cool. All right. Well, this has been a fun one. Thanks for hanging with us as usual. Keep spreading the word. You guys are doing great with that. Follow us on social media. If you are a person who ordered the shirt and you're experiencing a delay in the delivery, join the club. We're still waiting on our shirts as well. It's just part of the COVID situation.
Dude, I got a poster shipped from China for my son during this COVID thing quicker than we've gotten these goddamn shirts.
I know. Like, I know.
Like, I don't know. Like, it was so, I got it so quick. It still had the Corona on the packaging.
All right. Other than that, man, you guys are awesome. We love you and we'll see you next week.